Hey guys, it's Lee. Thank you so much for joining this podcast. I am so excited to get this started. I have been wanting to do this for years and years, and finally the last couple months, I really stopped and said, all right, this is something I really want to do. I'm going to kind of get my stuff together and do the damn thing. So anyhow, without further ado, I present my first podcast. So this is the story of Kyle Fleischman, who vanished on Friday, November 9th, 2007. Kyle Fleischman was born on September 24th, 1983. He was a 24-year-old male living in Charlotte, North Carolina. He was a brown-haired, green-eyed, clean-cut, super-duper good-looking young man. He was a recent 2006 graduate of Elon University with a degree in business administration, and at the time of his disappearance was employed as a healthcare recruiter. He had just purchased his first house and was ready to start his life. So what happened? On Thursday, November 8th, 2007, Kyle went to the Dane Cook Show with a group of friends, his mom, and his sister. His mom, Barbara Fleischman, had recently been diagnosed with cancer, and Kyle had suggested they go to the show in an effort to lift her spirits. So that night, the group met at Kyle's friend Daniel Scagnelli's house. Knowing they would be drinking alcohol, Kyle left his car, which was a white Volkswagen, at Daniel's house, and they took a cab to the show. So this was 2007, which was way before Uber and Lyft existed. So they took a good old-fashioned taxi. After the concert, Kyle and his friends went to the Buckhead Saloon in Uptown Charlotte, which is a bar, FYI. Although invited, Kyle's mom and sister decided to skip the bar and go home after the show. At the bar, it was reported that Kyle struck up a conversation with a young woman. The two hit it off and continued conversation throughout the night. In the bar surveillance video, it appears at one point that Kyle is arguing with two males who were known to be with the woman that Kyle had been talking to. Although it seems super duper sketchy and suspicious that a man would go missing literally minutes after an altercation with two men, especially about a woman, police did interview that party and they do not believe they were involved in Kyle's disappearance. So between 12:30 and 1, Kyle's friends began leaving the bar. Alone, Kyle stayed at the bar for another hour, which meant he left around 2 o'clock in the morning. Police are not sure why, but when Kyle left that night, he forgot both his debit card and his jacket. Police believe he was either intoxicated or forgot them or he left in a hurry. So this drives me nuts. I don't understand why this is such a big topic of discussion. Every time I read an article, there's always so much debate and discussion around why Kyle left his debit card and jacket behind. I don't know. Maybe it's just me who was a big partier in college, but it seems pretty obvious. I think back, I can't remember a time I went to the bar and did bring home everything I left with, or I went with. You know what I mean? But for some reason, this is like a huge, huge area of debate, and it like trips me out every time I hear it. In my worthless opinion, Kyle had too much to drink. He opened up a tab, I'm assuming, and left his debit card at the bar. Kind of end of story. And of course, as you've been drinking, you're not feeling the cold air like you would, you know what I mean, if you hadn't been drinking. That's just the way that alcohol works. So I don't know. I always think it's bizarre that people are so hooked on this fact that he forgot his debit card and his coat. When in fact, in my opinion, again, I know it's worthless, but he just had too much to drink and forgot it. But maybe that's just me. We'll never know the real reason, but one thing we are certain of is that Kyle left the bar alone that night. So, after leaving the bar, video surveillance records Kyle walking towards Fuel Pizza, which is the late night pizza joint. I'm not sure if this happened as he was walking or once he arrived, but his cell phone records indicate he called his sister at 2:19 in the morning, but she did not answer. The employee of Fuel Pizza, who was later interviewed by police, says Kyle entered the restaurant around 2:30 and ordered two pieces of their extreme pizza, which I looked into. That's just like their supreme or something like that. You know what I mean? With everything on it. So Kyle's dad has verified this story likely to be true, as that was Kyle's favorite type of pizza. And according to his bank records, he was a frequent visitor of the restaurant. So all this made sense, and this is deemed to be truth. So due to the late night rush, the employee does not specifically remember seeing Kyle leave. Just for fun or interest or whatever, I Googled the distance between the Buckhead Saloon, which is no longer in existence. They closed down, just FYI. But I Googled the distance between Buckhead Saloon and Fuel Pizza, and there it looks like it's about a half a mile from each other, or it was a half a mile from each other. So 5-10 minute walk. So all this makes sense is what I'm getting at. And let's be honest, I don't know about you guys listening, but I would have walked probably 5 miles for good pizza after a night at the bar. So after leaving Fuel Pizza, it is confirmed that at 2:42 in the morning, Kyle called the phone of a business he had visited earlier that day. He hangs up and then immediately calls his own voicemail. All right, so then between 2:42 in the morning and 2:57 in the morning, he calls his dad's office phone 4 times. He did not leave any messages for the calls he made. All right, so this series of calls that Kyle makes is another like super duper hot topic of conversation. People desperately want to know what the business was that Kyle had visited earlier that day. They also desperately want to know why Kyle called his dad's office as opposed to his cell phone. The debate is, if Kyle was looking for a ride, why did he call his dad's office? You know what I mean? Considering his dad would probably not be at his office at, you know, almost 3 o'clock in the morning. On top of that, then the next question is, was he being held against his will at that time? And if he was, why would he not call 911? My personal feeling, for whatever it's worth, is that Kyle was looking for a ride home. He didn't have his debit card. We know that. He left it at the bar. It was November, and he didn't have a coat, so he was probably cold. Sorry if you heard my dog shaking in the background there. Sorry about that. Anyways, he had been drinking and he probably wasn't thinking straight, which is why he called his dad's office phone instead of his cell phone. So anyhow, all right, Kyle then makes a few more calls. He calls his best friend at 3:28 a.m. He then hangs up, and at 3:29, so 1 minute later, he calls his roommate. Again, they don't answer. They're probably sleeping. And that was the last call ever made by Kyle Fleischman's phone. At 3:30 a.m., Kyle's cell phone activity stops, and he is never heard or seen from again. The morning after Kyle went missing, it was his friend Daniel, the one who he had left his car at his house the night before when they went to the Dane Cook show. So it was Daniel who was the first person to realize something was not right. He noticed Kyle's car in his driveway from the night before. He knew that Kyle was supposed to be at work, so he started calling Kyle's cell phone and Kyle's roommate over and over, trying to get in touch with them. Finally, at 5:30, Daniel calls Kyle's work to ask if they had seen him, you know, like, did he come in that day? And they confirmed he had not come in that day, which was on a Friday. Which was super duper unlike Kyle to do. So Daniel's next call is to the police, which he does via 911 and reports Kyle as a missing person. After Kyle's call to 911, he notifies Dick and Barbara Fleischman, so that's mom and dad. More or less, the police are not interested in helping at this point. They take the report and they say they'll look into it on Monday if he's still MIA. They blow off the call and give the dreaded line of, "We have to wait 48 hours before we can launch an official missing person investigation." So Kyle's friends and family are super duper awesome, and they call total BS, and they launch their own mini investigation. So they do the whole works. They form search parties. They had flyers up. They went to hospitals. They went to jails. They visited news stations. And from what I could tell, Kyle Fleischman was the first time someone ever used Facebook to try and help find a missing person. And I thought that was so cool. So, I don't know, just a little shout out to his friends and family, how desperate they were to help. And, you know, just a little thinking outside the box, I guess, to use Facebook to launch a page to find Kyle. And just FYI, that's still an active, Facebook page. You can go to it now. I belong to it. I'm drawing a blank. I think it's called, either Help Find Kyle Fleischman, I'm pretty sure is what it's called. Anyhow, additionally to all of that, Dick and Barbara Fleischman hire a private investigator to find out what happened. So a few days after Kyle's disappearance, a cab driver comes forward and claims to have seen Kyle walking at 3:25 in the morning in a super sketchy area of Charlotte known as NODA, which is short for North Davidson, which is the street. Anyhow, when asked by police how the driver knew it was Kyle, he claims it was because Kyle looked totally out of place without a jacket on in November. He was quoted as saying he saw a kid with no jacket that was not in the right place and intoxicated. Police do verify that Kyle's cell phone did in fact ping off a tower close to this area. So police feel pretty confident that the cab driver's sighting is legit and that he did in fact see Kyle. So side note, this area is apparently super dangerous. And even during one of their daytime searches, the volunteers had to leave because of gunfire. So the question I have is, why was Kyle walking away from his house and into such a sketchy area of town so early in the morning? In my research, the general consensus seems to be that Kyle had gotten lost or somehow turned around. So what happened to him? In a recent interview with True Crime Daily, Dick Fleischman says he believes that Kyle was most likely the victim of foul play. He believes it was a robbery or a mugging gone wrong. The most horrifying part of this story to me is that near the area where Kyle was last seen by the cab driver was a giant construction zone. So apparently builders were like literally days away from building condominiums on this huge, huge property. So there were mounds and mounds and mounds of dirt piles all around. So, I'm not sure how true this is, but I did read an article that people could smell decomposition in the air, like around the construction site. And allegedly police searched these dirt piles with poker sticks, and could not find anything. So they did look for him there and just couldn't come up with anything. This upcoming November will be 13 years since Kyle Fleischman vanished. There has been almost no updates in the case since then. It is the most heart-wrenching story imaginable, and my heart absolutely breaks for the parents of Kyle Fleischman. I literally cannot imagine my child missing for a single moment, and they've been doing it for almost 13 years. This case is still open. There's currently a $50,000 reward for information regarding Kyle's disappearance. If you have any information related to this case, please, please, please call the Charlotte Department's Crime Stoppers tip line at 704-334-1600. Again, that's Charlotte's Department Crime Stopper tip line, and the number is 704-334-1600. This is the story of Kyle Fleischman. Thanks for listening. Hey guys. Okay, so the first podcast is officially in the books. Please, please let me know what you thought of it. Unless you hated it, then don't let me know, because my feelings get hurt super easily and I will cry. Just kidding. In all seriousness though, please let me know what you guys thought. I'm super excited. Anyhow, so my husband actually came up with a good idea, and he said for the first few podcasts, at the end of each episode, I should answer a couple icebreaker questions about myself so that you guys get to know me a little bit. So here's five of them. First one is cats or dogs. So that's super easy. Sorry, I love all animals. Do not get me wrong, but dogs are my babies. We have, up until last week, we had three. We had one just pass away in a bad accident. So right now we have two. We have Buster, who is a three-year-old, big old mutt. He's like a lab, maybe like Australian Shepherd, something going on. He's a big guy. He's like 80 pounds. And then we have Mr. Sarge, who is, what is he? He's 8 pounds. He's a Chiweenie. So he's a Chihuahua Dachshund mix. And he's every bit of awesome. All right. Second icebreaker question. If I could have one food every day for the rest of my life, what would it be? Easiest question I've ever answered. Macaroni and cheese. Absolutely love it. Doesn't matter if it's boxed or homemade. I will eat it all. I do not discriminate. Next question, coffee or tea? So, duh, that would be tea for me. Not sweet tea, by the way, hot tea. I actually hate sweet tea. Sorry. I do. And coffee. Do you know I've never had a cup of coffee in my entire life? So I think I prefer tea, but I guess I don't really know. The plot thickens. All right, so my preferred dress code, 100% casual all the time. With COVID, I actually work at a hospital, and my position is now permanent work from home. So it's been amazing in the fact that I don't have to dress up. It's been awesome. And then my fifth icebreaker question is, what is my favorite podcast? And that would have to be a tie between Moms and Murder, Melissa and Mandy and my girls, even though they have no clue who I am, and Crime Junkies. Ashley and Britt are my other girls, and they too have no clue who I am. But I love both of their podcasts very much, and I never, ever miss. So anyhow, all right, well, that's just a little whatever, a little tidbit from Lee. All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.